You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome to another episode of A Change in Attitude, your 2021 look back at the WWF Attitude Era. It is your host for this week, Ori the Draw, joined by my wonderful friends who I've been giving shit to for the last 20 minutes, Mags and Tanner. How are you guys doing today?
Everyone's a liar. No,
everyone's a liar.
Been doing great. I'll get to know. I will have a very specific point about that very soon.
Especially you, Brian Pillman. You're a effing liar, and you as well, dear brother.
Yeah. Everybody's a liar. Everybody lies. But what about you, Mags?
Yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I'm doing really well. This is part two of a long stretch of recordings for me today. I'm excited to talk about this terrible, terrible, terrible episode of Raw.
Was it really that terrible?
Yeah, it sucked. It was a big fat one.
Wow.
Wow.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I'm fasted today.
It left me wanting more, but I don't know if it was
more of WCW Natural. Which beat this Raw in the ratings by a hell of a lot, we'll say.
I will say this, you know, at the time of recording, today is Sunday, August 15th. And I say that because Friday night, we got the first episode of Rampage, which was an hour long. Great show. Great show for AEW.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
But because I think we haven't had 1 hour shows in a long time, it really kind of changed some of my opinions on how because I feel like we've been shitting on these 1 hour Raws for the last, 15, 16 weeks now, give or take. Mm. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of stuff
great
to shit on.
Great advertisement for keeping listening to this show.
I get it. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of stuff to shit on about how they set things up and different things. But at the same time, I mean, in a way, they've been doing it for a while, so they should have figured it out by now. But at the same time, things were changing in the landscape of wrestling. So they're trying to tweak things and get them better. And you don't learn unless you screw up.
I mean,
I'm the type of person who feels that way. Like, you learn from failure.
I was probably being more facetious than anything, saying that this was a terrible Raw. It's just, it wasn't a good Raw. That's pretty much it. And it's leaning to a pay-per-view that I don't feel excited about because of the leading Raws.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this. Did you watch this episode of Raw before or after you watched Rampage?
Before for me.
After.
Okay, so me and Tanner watched it after. Mags watched it before. And the reason that I ask that is because I'm wondering if that kind of changes. Now that we've gotten this really good product with a really good 1 hour setup, Does it change our opinion on how Raw, you know, how we feel about Raw at this moment in time? We're looking at September 16th, 1996, the go home show before international, not international, it's In Your House Mind Games. I'm going to get this freaking pay-per-view. I tried to call it SummerSlam before we started recording. I'll get it right at some point. I'm all over the place today. But on the Peacock app, it's season 4, episode 36. But I'm wondering, does it change how you feel about these Raws after watching AEW Rampage?
Mags.
In any way.
Well, I watched this before I watched Rampage. And I think it's hard to really compare current product with this product, because it seems to me like a world apart. Two totally different styles of wrestling, two totally kind of different looks. I think the only real similarity is the time frame, with it being sub 50 minutes. I will say I enjoyed Rampage a hell of a lot more than I did this Raw, and the majority of the Raws that we've actually watched, I'm actually getting more and more excited to get to the 2-hour Raws that we're catching up on, because I know that that's when we really kick into the Attitude Era style. And I suppose a lot of it is, the issue is we started a little bit before the Attitude Era just to get context, and so far the context is it's a very slow process for WWF to get there.
It's a slow crawl. I'll admit that. What do you think, Tanner?
I think that Mags makes a great point in that you have to look at the way that Raw and just television in general was done in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. You have to look at that in a bit of a bubble. That said, again, because we've actually heard some great feedback about how, you know, we can make comparisons between what Raw was doing in, you know, on this date and what Nitro was doing on this date, and it looks very, very different. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a matter of, is it WWF's at the time? Is it their presentation style? Is it the way that they just go about things? Is it their method of storytelling? What is it? And we are at this focal point here where things have not turned that corner just yet, to where they are, you know, the exciting product that we would know from the Attitude Era just yet. But they are making progress.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with it as well. Like, they're playing catch up. They're still trying to transition from that late 80s, early 90s superhero comic book larger than life characters to people who are more relatable but still larger than life, and they hadn't quite turned that corner, not only in character development but in production as well. And so I don't know, that was just something that I was thinking about, like how and you know, I don't want to completely knock Raw, you know, for the time, because I feel like what WCW Nitro did at that time, what Raw did at that time, even if it was complete and utter crap, it still led us where we are today to have that great show that we did on Friday night. So I'm very much of the opinion, you know, failure isn't really failure if you're learning from it and making an active change. And I think, you know, like Mag said, as we get farther along and get to those 2 hours where they do turn that corner and we get solid, you know, solid footing into the Attitude Era, I think it'll make a big difference.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just for context, we opened this episode of Raw with the Sultan making his debut against Jake Roberts. Mm-hmm. On the other side, we were seeing Juventud Guerrera take on Rey Mysterio. I mean, the kind of clash of styles and the differences in wrestling are just so apparent there. I mean, as a fan, I would have way more wanted to watch Rey Mysterio on Juventud than watch Rikishi beating up Jake Roberts.
I mean, not Rikishi.
Wink.
I actually went and looked it up, though. I was like, who was that? He was very unrecognizable, and which I found very interesting. And
mostly because of the face mask.
Well, and his size was very different. Of course, yes. They were two very different characters at the time. So, you know, but let's get into this. We open with a video package with semifinal preview of the Intercontinental Title Tournament. That is a lot of eh. Mm-hmm. We've got Mero and Owen versus Sid and Farouk this week. Mm-hmm. We were told that Gorilla Monsoon will have info on Razor Ramon and Diesel situation. We're going to get a South African update from Bret Hart. And then it goes to ringside, where we've got Kevin Kelly again on commentary with JR and the King. Jake comes out right off the jump, goes, you know, drops the bag with the snake, heads straight for King, who hightails it backstage. And then Bob Backlund comes out with the Sheik and then the Sultan, and King is hiding behind them to make his way back to commentary, mm-hmm. who and is also joined by Bob Backlund. And so what did we think of this match? I feel like Mag's face kind of has this shit eating grin on his face right now, like he's gonna go, it's shit.
In terms of in ring action, it went three minutes or so. So there's not really a lot to break down. The main talking points are going to be between this continuing feud between Lawler and Roberts. Lawler throwing little bottles of booze into the ring at Jake. Ironically, one of the referees picked one up and pocketed it. I'm sure he necked that after the match. But yeah, that for me was the only real kind of interesting thing about this match. That and Bob Backlund's kind of hypnosis that he had with the Sultan at the end. The match is what it is. It was a squash victory to make the Sultan look like a dominant force in his pursuit for the WWF title. There just wasn't a lot to it. I think 3 minutes is an insult to someone of Jake Roberts' caliber.
Hmm. Yeah, this is just it's weird. It's not a good match. It's not a particularly likable segment, I think. And as we pointed out, yeah, if I was tuning in 1996 to watch wrestling, and I had the option of this or Rey Mysterio and Juventud Guerrera, I'd be watching Rey Mysterio and Juventud Guerrera 10 times out of 10. A little bit of backstory here. So apparently the Sultan character, you know, being brought in and obviously the Iron Sheik being brought back in, a lot of that had to do with, at the time, the U.S. was still engaged in military actions against Iraq, and right. There's obviously that sentiment there, so they're kind of taking advantage of that a little bit, and the sentiments that there might be overwhelmingly in American audiences about foreign characters, not
right. And his whole backstory, his whole backstory was they had captured him, and the U.S. had held him for information, and when he would not divulge anything, they cut his tongue out.
Yes.
Is not a good look for the U.S. Let me just throw that out there.
I mean, this is a character who later in his career will say he did it for The Rock. How does he do that with no tongue? I did it for The Rock.
Yeah, he went from doing it without a tongue to doing it without pants, really.
And then, of course, we get King. He keeps teasing this bombshell information. And like Mag said, Lawler throws something, can't really see it. And then we realize it's a small bottle of alcohol like you would find. Just like a little
in a
one
bar
shot.
Or in like a hotel.
They call it an airport bottle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that causes the distraction for Jake, which allows the Sultan to get the camel clutch and win with the submission. That's kind of how I felt about the match. It was all right. It was fine for what it was. You know. And I will say this, and I'm starting to, I know we've talked about this before, but I feel like it really felt like it was present throughout the entire show, more so than usual, was the constant talking over the match by commentary, whether it's I'm teasing Bombshell Info or Gorilla Monsoon or whatever. Like, poor Kevin Kelly is trying so hard to keep everybody into the match and into what's going on, segueing, well, let's get back to this match. And, oh, look at that, this, and, you know, this, that, and the other. Bless his heart, he's doing the best he can. And there's something to be said for silence. And maybe it's just, you know, Vince in the back going, yeah, this match sucks, just keep talking, kid.
I think it's a lot of that. I think it's a hell of a lot of that. If you took away those like interludes from the commentary and from Gorilla, you would have to focus on these matches. It's not good. I mean,
and when we did get some, like later on, a little bit of quiet from commentary, I started listening to the background noise and actually paying attention to some of the background. And there was definitely some crowd noise piped in because, mm-hmm. you know, they're, but the crowd is sitting there. And if you look at them, it's like crickets for 90% of the crowd.
Yeah. This is the problem that you get when you record four shows in a block. We've seen over the last few episodes how hot the crowd were. And they are going to eventually wind down and become tired. And this episode really did show that. There were a couple of guys who they focused on in the crowd quite a few times. The two guys in red shirts, they seemed very hyper all the way through all these recordings. But yeah. You're right, the crowd were waning at this point, and you could definitely tell that there was a lot of piping in of audio.
I mean, especially when you're getting 3-4 matches in one night to film all of this between the same 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that's what makes, you know, not to harp on the AEW train, but Dark and Dark Elevation so good, is that while you might have one or two people have 2 matches in one night, for the most part, you're getting completely fresh competitors. You're not getting 2 Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho matches a night. You're not getting, you might get a Kenny match with Orange Cassidy and then a Kenny match with Luchasaurus, or an Orange Cassidy with a Luchasaurus. You're getting different matchups, which allows people to stay in it for those pre-recorded portions. And so I think that does them a lot of favors, because once you've seen, like Psycho Sid, he's super hot right now. Everybody loves Psycho Sid in this moment in time. But when you're having to watch Psycho Sid wrestle 3 matches, 4 matches in 1 4-5-hour block, you know, and some of it presumably against 1 or 2 people, you've already, like, there's only so much Jim Cornette I can look at. You know, oof. I love watching, you know, Owen
Zero
Hart.
Is the amount for me.
Right. But I mean, I love watching Owen Hart, but you're seeing Owen Hart, you know, at that point in time, every 20 minutes. So how can you continue to get excited about Owen Hart when you just saw him 20 minutes ago?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
make a great point.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready for us to get to those 2-hour blocks and to get to more live shows week to week, different venues. Yeah, these blocks did them no favors at all. And I think that's another thing where why WCW was beating them, because were they not on the road, different place every week?
And they were starting to be live as well.
Yeah. So that, I think, you know, people talk about, you know, the competition today, whether or not there is none, and there has to be, because that's the only thing that's going to push the business to make it better. If WCW wasn't doing these things, then we would not have the product that we have now, or even that we're going to have in, what, 6 months from August or September 16th of 96. You know, it competition breeds better.
Competition, yeah.
Yeah, and it makes things better, you know. Shut up. They're laughing at me because I couldn't think of that.
Competition breeds better.
It makes things better.
2021.
That's right. Vote Ori. I don't know for what, but vote Ori. I don't know. Anyway, then we move on. We've got Brian Pillman backstage with Owen Hart, saying that he has an interview with Brett, and Owen's thanking him for getting the Harts back together. Mom and Dad are so happy. And then all of a sudden, Stone Cold butts in and saying he'll be there in, where are we going to be? Philadelphia, Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm. I think somewhere, it's Philadelphia.
Somewhere in the PA area. Jeez. Oh, Philadelphia, because it was supposed to be the city of brotherly love. They're getting the brothers back together. Hello, I'm getting it all together now. But Stone Cold comes in saying he'll be there in Philadelphia at Mind Games to get his own answers from Bret Hart because he is the best there is.
Yes.
Because the bottom line is he is the best there is. So we're starting to get those nice little quotes from Steve Austin that we know and love from him. And then we move on to, I mean, unless you guys have anything to say about this segment. Tanner's giving me a shake of the head.
I mean, the one standout of this was Owen Hart and his shit-eating grin. I thought that was brilliant how he played along. And then when Stone Cold came in to kind of rain on the Bret Hart parade, Owen was agreeing with him as well. So you can tell there's definitely some shenanigans going to happen.
Shenanigans.
Indeed.
We do love some shenanigans. All right. So then we get the Smoking Guns with Sonny versus Bob Holly and Alex the Pug Porto, which thank God that Bob Holly had his name on his tights because, first of all, I wouldn't have recognized him. Second of all, I never heard the intro. Okay, Mags, do not give me that shocked face. The only time I have ever seen Bob Holly is when he was with Crash and Molly Holly and the buzz cut and the blonde and all that.
You have missed out on Sparky Plug. Well, in this match, Sparky Pug. With his tag team partner, the Pug.
Apparently.
Yeah, you've not missed much.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I didn't even know it was the Smoking Guns coming out because the camera was only on Sonny, and then they dropped out this giant picture of Sonny, and it was
Right, but if you she's wearing the boots, so obviously it's and if she'd have been wearing heels, it'd have been Farouk.
Yes, as we see later in the show.
Right. It's a little more, and her attire was a little more country, a little more revealing.
It was
therefore Smoking Guns. If it's a little bit more classy, it's Farouk. That's how you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I'll be honest with you. Seeing this earlier version of Bob Holly, I was very impressed. I'm assuming there was some type of race car driver theme going on with Bob Holly.
That's who Sparky Plug is.
Yeah, he was transitioning from a gimmick of being a failed NASCAR driver, I think it was.
Yeah, some kind of derby driver, you know.
It was a play on STP, was it, for Sparky Thurman Plug was his gimmick name.
Gotcha. I gotta say, it in some ways it kind of worked because Bob Holly was flying through that ring. Very quick moves, very quick execution. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, it worked. And I bought into it. And I was kind of behind. I can't say anything for the Pug, but for Bob Holly, I was impressed. And I was kind of behind him. I was kind of enjoying it, you know.
A very different Bob Holly than you see or that you remember from the Crash holidays, where he was essentially a hard-hitting
no nonsense
kind of brawler. Yeah, this one you're seeing him doing Hurricane Ranas, for instance. This was a very different Bob Holly.
It really was, and it was good. I really enjoyed it. This was probably one of the matches that I enjoyed the most, possibly because of seeing an earlier version of Bob Holly and just seeing and the action kind of picked up. It was a little more faster paced, a little more interesting, so I enjoyed that. We got teasing all throughout the match of we're going to talk to Gorilla Monsoon. We're going to get updates on Bret Hart. We get Cornette, Owen Hart, and the Bulldog coming out to ringside with chairs, and they sit in the ringside to watch because, of course, there's a match between them and the Smoking Guns at Mind Games for the titles. JR still claiming that Razor and Diesel will be back next week and in the ring. Match goes on and does things. Owen finally pops up on the ring apron, throws a drink to distract Billy, and Bob Holly gets the roll up into the pin. So the Smoking Guns are going in at a deficit this week.
Yes.
Into the pay-per-view.
To a team that had never been a team before. So, yeah, interesting booking, I would say, that you have your tag team champions beat by Sparky Plug and Alex Porto. But let's see where it goes. And again, the more interesting thing about this match was the commentary and the kind of carrying on storyline with Jim Ross saying he's bringing back Diesel and Razor Ramon and Gorilla Monsoon saying there's no way Kevin Nash and Scott Hall are coming back. I don't think they could have made it any clearer that those two are under contract to another company, but right. The names are ours, so we are using them. Yeah, it was very on the nose.
He really calls out JR too.
Yeah.
Like,
matter of fact,
fucking liar, JR, you piece of shit.
In the midst of Monsoon talking after this match, because all of this, you know, the whole Monsoon conversation saying that they're not there, they're under contract with other people. And like, it's one of those things where you really like knowing what we know now, you know, we know Diesel and Razor are coming back, but it's not Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. So if you read between the lines, they're telling you exactly what's going to happen.
This is in plain sight, that you are not repeat not getting Kevin Nash and Scott Hall back. Get that out of your mind. We are going to let you down if you think you are getting those
right.
back.
Right.
Just get used to Rick Bognar and Glenn Jacobs in that role, because it's happening, folks. By God, it's happening.
Yeah, and I just don't know what they were thinking by actually pulling the trigger. I just... We'll get to that on another day, another podcast. It's just,
but
everybody is a liar.
I found it really interesting because in the midst of Monsoon talking, you hear this loud crash, like somebody knocked something over. And then after Monsoon's done saying that he's going to stay right there live and monitor the rest of the show to make sure that there's no more misleading statements made, Kevin Kelly says that JR has gotten up, left the table, and has gone backstage, that he is incensed. So I'm assuming at first I was like, oh my God, somebody bumped into something. Vince is going to be pissed. And then after Kevin Kelly says that, you realize JR's ripped the headphones off and thrown them down and knocked his chair over and said, screw this, I'm out of here.
It sounded to me like he was brewing a pot of JR's barbecue sauce, heard that he was a liar, called a liar by President Monsoon, and he flipped that pot over, like, sent the sauce flying and stormed off like a little Oklahoma Mardi bum.
Goodness gracious.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
So after that, we get King in the ring with Cornette and Vader for a public workout with Tony Williams. because Jim Cornette is going to be having a match with Jose Lothario, I'm assuming at Mind Games. Vader's apparently been coaching him, and it's not an actual match. It's a workout. Mm-hmm. And so they start things off. King and Vader move to the corner, and he's showing him, you know, locking up with Tony Williams and manipulating the arm, to which Tony starts manipulating back, and he gets upset with him. And so they start over again, and he gets him in a headlock, and Tony Williams gets out of that and then gets him on the floor and starts, you know, dropping the leg on his leg and manipulating the ankle, to which Cornette then flags Vader in to stop it. And they immediately tie him up, tie Tony Williams up in the ropes and start beating his butt.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
And the good thing is WWF saw that this segment was an absolute farting church and cut it off. And it's not mentioned again. They then go straight to the next segment, and that happened. Forget about it. That was horrific. Poor Tony Williams. That was a bad position to be in.
Yeah, nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see.
Nothing interesting at all. But then we get JR back. He's back at the table. He's very upset because him and Monsoon have been friends for years, and they're arguing about.
I thought we were friends, but apparently, I'm a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Right.
My God.
And all of this, not to mention all of this, in the middle of Owen Hart versus Mark Marrow for one of the semifinal IC tournament
which is actually the best match on the card as well.
Not only the best match on the card, I think this is probably one of the best matches that they've had, like, probably in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So props, Mark Marrow. You know, well deserved. Props to Owen Hart, well deserved. But yeah.
And we also had Pat Patterson on commentary. He was the very first Intercontinental title holder. And we find out he will be refereeing that final match. Mm-hmm. So,
good for him.
Bless his heart. Poor Pat's trying to run interference between JR and Monsoon. You know, and this was the point where I started noticing how dead the crowd was, mm-hmm. and how much the sound was being piped in. Like, there were a couple of guys right at the corner where the entrance ramp opened up to the ring. There's maybe four or five guys that they were super into it. Everybody else just friggin' crickets. Like, okay, we're seeing Marrow and Owen again. Cool.
They're probably just as upset as I was that JR's been lying, because he's a liar.
Hoodwinked. He's hoodwinked everybody. He has hoodwinked. I do like one thing that Ross, Jim Ross, did say. He kind of added a little bit of extra gravy to this match, I suppose, when he was saying there was a rivalry brewing between the two, and he referred to the South Africa show that Miro beat Davey Boy Smith. Well, they had him beat until Owen interfered and they got the DQ. So at least he added that kind of caveat to this match. But yeah, this was, again, furthering a storyline between the commentators and something that's going to probably go down as a massive fighting church over a really solid match. It was very disappointing that the match wasn't the focal point here.
Yeah.
No, but there were things, there was another thing that JR said about it that is going to further that Marrow Heart potential storyline with the way that the match ended, because JR makes a point of saying that Owen Hart only wore the cast about half the time that he was there in Africa. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the match, you've got the ref kind of behind the both guys at one point, either, you know, one or the other behind Marrow. Owen slips the cast off and hits him with it and then tries to slip it back on, doesn't get it on all the way. And then Marrow rips it off of his arm. And again, the ref is behind Owen. And so he hits Owen with the cast and gets the win. And I thought that was a great ending between the comments that King was making about him, you know, these two over in South Africa, the things that had gone on in their matches, and then the pointed comment about Owen only wearing the cast about half the time. You know, we've all said, oh, his wrist isn't broke. He's taken that thing off way too many times. When you actually, because I've broken my wrist. I broke the bone right beneath, like, the where the pinky finger would line up. There's like that outer bone where it connects near your hand. So right underneath that is where I broke it. And when I had that cast on, it wasn't coming off. There was no way to slip your hand out of it. As opposed to when I did a play and we literally cut it down the inside and then would tape over it to show that it was closed in the show. And I could slip my hand in and out of it as much as I needed to, you know, for the play purposes. So, you know, I think it was great booking. I think it was great storytelling by both the guys in the ring and JR on commentary. It was a really fun finish to the match and to potentially build an ongoing feud between Mark Marrow and, you know, Owen Hart or Camp Cornette as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But for me, they go into the well with this cast as a weapon thing way too many times. Now, this is what, the second Raw in recent memory that we've watched where a referee has missed the finishing blow with the cast. It was Tim White recently, and then obviously this match here. I'll be glad for the cast to go away now. I think it's been milked to within an inch of its life. But again, like I said, this match was really good in terms of actual wrestling. The finish, not so much taken with, but it furthers the storyline between these two wrestlers and also pushes Miro through to the final of the tournament.
I will disagree with you agree with you that the cast has been milked for all it's worth. It's time to let the cast go. I completely agree. But I like the finish because he turned it around. He used his own weapon against him. Yeah. And I think if that's what I would have loved to see is not only Marrow winning with the cast like he did, but he takes it with him. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he can't use it anymore.
It's proper comeuppance because he tried to use the cast. We all know that he's not hurt, you know. And once again, it's proven Owen Hart was a liar.
He's a liar.
He is, and the WWF were liars as well, because according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, they had to re-record this finish multiple times because they kept messing up, hitting somebody in with a cast and the ref not catching him.
Just to preface, I don't mean Owen Hart the person, but Owen Hart in this story. Yes,
very. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A liar.
Don't the want Owen Hart
getting
character.
Cut out of context later and then be like, oh, he thought Owen Hart was a liar.
You're determined to get cancelled today, aren't you?
Tanner is on cancel trip.
No, it's fine.
All right. So from there, we get shots from the South African tour, different shots of the wrestlers interacting with fans, shots of the South African countryside, which were absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then we get a quick little mini interview, mini promo from Bret Hart himself, who calls Pillman a liar. says Owen is a liar too.
What is he?
He's a liar.
Okay. Just making sure that we're all on the same
doing his little lie dance. I don't know. I don't remember what that was. That was from a movie. But calls them both liars, that they've never spoken. No one's been an intermediary. Mom and dad are pissed. Mm-hmm. You know, my dear, sweet, lovable little brother, you're a liar.
I am not going to be in Philadelphia.
Yep.
I hate the WWF. I'm probably not going to come back. You're all liars. Jim Ross as well. You're a liar. You're not bringing back Diesel and Farouk.
Well, he didn't and say Razor. That.
Dude, imagine the that. Scenes if he shot on JR. In that interview. Like, what's JR been going on about? I know that they're not coming back.
He did say specifically that he knows his commitments with the WWF and he has decided nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, he was mentioning having commitments with Hollywood and movies and stuff like that.
And his family. And he's taking all of that into consideration and thus has not decided anything. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. We're also told to get our fax machines ready.
this legitimately popped me because fax machines, even in 1996, were old technology.
Yeah. How they thought, expensive.
Yeah, they thought that this was cool. Oh, yeah, let's get on the bandwagon with LiveWire. How are we going to get people to get in contact? Jim, you got any ideas? By God, everybody should fax us.
Yeah, fax your questions in, folks.
Is it weird? I still have a fax machine.
There's one coming through. By God.
I still have a fax machine in my house. I think. I want to say it's in a closet. And the only reason that I kept the damn thing is because I had to fax information years ago to people about crap.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it works, you know. But WWF wanted you to fax your questions to JR
or
for him to
email.
Read and answer.
You could email. Boy, those fax machines, though.
It would take you forever to receive that email. Like, just imagine.
Take 20 minutes to load. If someone didn't pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And they also promoted that what was it, Sonny and Jim Cornette were going to be on the same show. That, obviously, I mean, it's LiveWire, perfect name for that show. I wonder why this didn't really take off and we didn't see a lot of LiveWire. Fax your answers in, if you know, to 1-888-WWF, fax one. I think that was the number.
Yeah.
Yikes. Don't do that. Never mind.
I wonder if that is still operable. I'm going to have to go down to FedEx and see if I can make that work.
Fax it up. I can fax from my printer copier.
Well, la-di-da.
Yeah. Through the emails, though. You fax it through the email to the fax machine.
Pedantic.
Good Lord. We've gone completely off the rails today. That's where we are.
This is what happens when there's no hosting responsibilities.
What are you talking about? I'm right here.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
I'm right here. I sit at the top of the show. I was the host this week.
Oh, okay.
Tana and I are just extra sassy today.
Yes.
Apparently. Y'all put on your sassy pants.
We've just gotten done with some streaming, and it's just been...
It's been
a fun day.
It's been a day. I get it. Oh, my gosh. All right. So then we come to the second of the semifinal intercontinental title tournament matches between Farouk with Sonny and Psycho Sid. And one thing I noticed, you know, they had that kind of standoff between each other, you know, face to face. Farouk's a big guy. There's no doubt about it, but Sid makes him look small. I mean, I get it. He's like 6'9", 313 some odd pounds, give or take. You know, I don't remember the exact number. I do remember the 6'9 part, but like, that's a big... I'm 5'3". I would look like a hobbit next to this dude.
Well, they described Psycho Sid in the video package as the mercurial mesomorph, which I thought was a
alliteration.
Yeah, a great bit of alliteration.
Heck of a way to describe somebody, and yeah, wonderful alliteration.
He's been since his return to the company. The fans love him.
Yeah,
he's so over with the fans.
Yeah,
he really is. He really is. And we even to the wonderful points that Mags has been bringing up weekly about Farouk and his headgear. We even got a comment from JR about the questionable headgear. I thought that was quite so fun. Bad. I was like, Mags ought to love that.
Finally, for the first time in the show, me and JR agree on something. Yes, the headgear
on the show and in life.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
like even the mask for Sultan was just a little bit better than this headgear. During the match, we got a picture-in-picture of Ahmed Johnson with a message for Farouk and Sonny.
And did you understand any of what Ahmed said?
I understood something about you've lit a fire and I will burn your ass. Well, that's all I caught, really. The volume for the match was too loud. The volume for Ahmed Johnson was way too low. It did, like, I know they're trying to keep Ahmed in the picture. Mm-hmm. He's going to come back. He's going to make a recovery, even though what they're selling us really is, will he be able to come back? It's a horrible, terrible kidney injury, blah, blah, blah. You know, we really don't know if he's going to be back, and they're projecting it like he will and trying to keep him involved. But it goes back to what I've said before. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
You know, space these things out. You did no favors for Ahmed Johnson or for us as fans with this picture in picture promo message. Nothing.
I agree.
Absolutely nothing.
Especially when he made not a lick of sense in his promo. I felt like he may have had an aneurysm just as he was speaking, and the words just came out as gobbledygook.
Maybe he was on the pain pills.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, kidney pain is horrific, and he may have been on
he's on the good stuff.
Morphine.
I can definitely speak to that.
You've had your own Ahmed Johnson issue.
Yeah, I had I went to the emergency room the other night because it felt like somebody stabbed me with a hot knife, and I had kidney stones. So
yeah,
I'm all better now. But good. Man, those drugs are no.
Yeah, hubby has had kidney stones and has had to have like surgery to like go in and break them up and stuff. And that's not fun.
So what we're going to need from you then, Tanner, is week on week, you're going to have to give us a couple of minutes promo of how you're going to return to a change in attitude.
Yeah.
From this horrific kidney injury.
Don't involve me like primarily in the show, but have me come in about 20 minutes and then again at the 40-minute mark, and I'll tell you what my progress has been.
We'll just tease every 5 minutes. We're going to get an update from the Texas gentleman, Tanner Pruitt, just every 20 minutes.
I'm doing all right, guys. It's going to be okay. And then later on the show, I've taken a turn. I don't know. Doctor's saying it might be another 6 months till I can podcast again. And then, just be ridiculous.
But I will return to podcasting, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I will return to podcasting to win
to torture all of us.
Yeah, to win back my hosting seat and conquer a change in attitude landscape.
Oh, goodness. Wow. I will say for this match specifically, it was kind of while we were getting that picture in picture, Farouk specifically starts targeting Sid's lower back and kidneys, attempting to do some similar damage to what he did to Ahmed Johnson. And so I thought that was kind of a good callback tie-in to what was going on. Farouk ends up sliding out and grabbing a chair while Sonny's on the apron distracting the referee. He gives Sid a hit to the gut with it before Sid gets up, grabs the chair, and of course, by then, Sonny's like, okay.
The weakest chair shot. This guy, like Ori said, is 6'9", 300 plus pounds, and the chair shot is so weak that Farouk collapses before the chair actually makes contact with his back. It's
maybe
ridiculous.
He was afraid that Sid would rupture his kidney yeah, with the chair.
It was kidney protection. That's it. I didn't think of that. Great point. One thing that you didn't touch on, which I thought was hilarious, was Sid at the beginning of the match totally no selling a power slam. Just like, yep, thanks for that, and let's carry on.
That happened.
Yeah.
We got to get moving here.
Yeah. We ain't got time for that bullshit.
At the same time, he's Psycho Sid. He likes the pain. He wants the pain, which is, I mean, that's kind of Mankind's character, too. But there's plenty of Psycho to go around, I guess. You know?
Yeah. I mean, but he's also mercurial.
That's true.
Metamorphosis is...
And he's a mesomorph. I think.
Mesomorph.
What the frack is a mesomorph?
It is a body type, specifically a large man. Is what a mesomorph means.
Okay.
He also is very good at retaining water in his hair. So I've noticed this week on week.
And blinking.
Yeah,
he's very good at blinking. That's a real.
He's very blinky.
I've been wanting to bring this up for weeks now. But anytime that you see footage of Psycho Sid, just pay attention to his hair whenever he moves, because it's like a tropical rainstorm is about to like just come at you. Like water just goes, and it's crazy.
I think he took his hair tips from Coming to America and Soul Glow.
Oh God. His hair shoots out more water than Triple H on a ring apron.
I thought I was getting canceled today, but no, that's not going to happen.
I think we're all getting canceled after this.
I won up your cancellation.
Yikes.
Well, yeah, this match happened. Farouk goes through due to disqualification because of the heavy, heavy blows from the chair shot. Sid seemed pretty happy about it. He was smiling afterwards, so I don't think he's that upset. The RC title is beneath a guy like Sid anyway. He's world champion. If you were to paint a world champion in Vince's ass, it would look like Sid.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So after that, we get some video packages promoting, trying to keep us still into what's going on in some of the matches that have not been discussed or covered or what have you within this show. For In Your House Mind Games, the first one we got was Undertaker speaking to Goldust, saying he's promising a premiere of a new Undertaker.
Yeah.
And so,
and he has to go through lots of people to get to Mankind.
Mm. Yeah, he's still got his focus on Mankind, but while that's happening, or not while it's happening, but after that happens, we get a video from Paul Bearer and Mankind in the boiler room speaking
the best part of the show, bar none.
Speaking
this
to Shawn Michaels.
Brilliant.
Paul Bearer talking about, I'm sweating.
I'm sweating in the boiler room, and I actually fucking love it. It's amazing.
Shawn Michaels, it's something you've never done. Like, Shawn Michaels doesn't sweat. And then the very best part of that entire video, if I win the title, does that mean I'm a sexy boy? Will all the girls kiss me? This is just A-plus work from Mick Foley.
Brilliant. And the only downside to it is he got so excited about it, his voice really broke, and you couldn't really understand the final few lines, but it was brilliant.
There's a reason for that. If you look closely, he's got like a belt or something around his neck, and he's pulling it in the direction between him and Paul Bearer. Yeah. I think on purpose, not only to show that he likes pain and torture and whatnot, but also to help modulate and break up his voice. Yeah. But he gets to pulling it too hard. You know, he's about to choke himself out.
All the girls will run away with fear, and I like that.
Yeah, he pulls the hair back. to show the mutilated ear. Yeah. Will they whisper in my ear? This was just, y'all, I can't tell you how much I loved this, how much I thought, how great I thought it was, how much I wanted to just crack up laughing. Cause I don't know, something about it, I guess, because I'm more familiar with Mick Foley and who he is now. Like, it's just kind of funny to me. It's great character work. Don't get me wrong. But there was just something so humorous about it, especially coming out of Mick Foley, you know. And like I said, I think it has a lot to do with, you know, the Mick Foley that we know now, who's actually in a couple weeks, I believe, coming to Lafayette. So about an hour away for a Comic-Con, for Louisiana Comic-Con. I might might have to throw my chair shot on and shirt on and go say hey.
There you go. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
And see if I can get him to listen to the podcast. No, don't do that, Mick.
Mick, we love you. We will never hear a bad word said against you.
So. Never. We love Mrs. Foley's baby boy here.
Indeed.
So all this essentially leading into next week's episode.
That's right.
Which is going to be covering the pay-per-view. Do I want to say that people paid for this pay-per-view? Someone probably did. But yeah, we're going into In Your House Mind Games. I think there's 6 televised matches on the card. Headlined, obviously, with Shawn Michaels and Mankind for the World Heavyweight title.
That is correct. I'm just checking Peacock right now, just to make sure that I can get that correct. Let's see. Oh, no. Come on. Let's see where we are. That is going to be season 2 under pay-per-views. If you go under pay-per-views, there is a section specifically for In Your House. It will be season 2, episode 5 on the Peacock app.
And we get a revisit of the Savio Vega and Justin Hawk Bradshaw feud, which we've missed over these last few weeks. That amazing match between Jim Cornette and Jose Lothario, that's going to be a banger. The tag titles are on the line with the Smoking Guns defending against Owen and the British Bulldog. We're going to see Mark Henry's debut against Jerry Lawler. The final curtain match with Undertaker taking on Goldust, and obviously the title match that we mentioned just now with Shawn Michaels defending against Mankind.
The thing that I find interesting is that we've had so little build-up on these Raws between Savio Vega and Justin Bradshaw, and it's a Caribbean strap match.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, what is this like? Is there fringe? Is, you know, are there sequins on this strap? What makes it Caribbean? I don't understand. Or Caribbean, however you feel like saying it.
Instead of being leather, it's just one of those kind of luau flowery ribbons.
Oh, geez. So, yeah, that will be next week. That will be next Monday here on A Change in Attitude. As always, you can catch us online on Twitter at ACIA Podcast. You can also email us at achangeinattitudepodcast@gmail.com. I'll get there eventually. For myself, Ori, you can find me under a new Twitter handle. You can find me everywhere under a new handle.
She's finally realizing the gimmick that she is the draw.
Sure. Very tongue-in-cheek, I accept my role as the draw here, and therefore you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, or Twitch under Ori the Draw. Mags, my good friend, where can we find you?
Okay, you can find me everywhere, but mainly on Twitter at Podfather Mags, or as Schmags, as Tanner has nicknamed me now. There's a whole inside joke story about that. Don't even get me started. But
don't doubt it.
But you can follow me there over there on Twitter. I'm heavily involved with Radio Techers. We're doing some great things for this upcoming Premier League and football season. Lots of content coming out there, so definitely go and check that out.
Correct. And five rounds as well. We still do rounds?
That's a thing. Yeah. Five rounds is a thing as well.
Right here on Chairshot.
And also Head Trauma, which I do with my good friend Ray Cash. So
yes,
yeah,
I listened to
I am all over Chairshot.
You really are.
Yeah,
you're just as much a part of Chairshot as Greg DeMarco and Miranda Morales.
I would never ever.
See, I've been listening to the network.
Miranda is gold standard.
She really is. I've really been enjoying listening to Miranda. Shout out to the hashtag Miranda over on Instagram because she is the Twitterless heroine. See, I listen.
The queen of soft style.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think it's the pop punk princess as well.
The woman of a thousand names.
You're not wrong. First of her kind. Throw all that in there. But yeah, you can check all those out at thechairshot.com. New episodes of things every day, or go to Chairshot Radio Network wherever you listen to your podcast. Now, Tanner, my friend, where can we stalk and harass you?
Oh man, I mean, do I want to answer that? I mean, that's a hard sell.
With love, yeah, harass with love.
I mean, you can. I typically might be at like a bar, or maybe like a liquor store, or like a grocery store. You might be able to find me there, mostly around the Central Texas area. You could probably hunt me down.
Really going deep on himself. This. Really yeah. Doxing himself.
Where can we find you on Twitter?
You can
LinkedIn.
Find me. Give me my Instagram. You can find me on Twitter at TexasGentleman_. That's where you can find me personally. Or as Mags kindly pointed out, you can also just hit us up at the Radio Techers Network Twitter handle, which is Radio Techers, RadioTekkers, where we cover mostly Premier League football, but we just cover football news. In general, not NFL style, but actual like proper football. You can also check out Mags's wonderful shows, like Five Rounds is on there, Chain Wrestling is on there. So we have a good time. We have a YouTube page. We definitely would appreciate a subscribe there if you haven't done so already. We're trying to get to our goal of 100 subscribers so we can have a custom URL for YouTube. That would be really fantastic. So definitely hit us up there. Give us a subscribe on YouTube, or if you prefer Twitch, Twitch is cool too. But yeah, fun times, great memories. Go and check out the content.
There you have it. And now you know where to find us, how to find us, how to send us your love mail, your hate mail, your meh mail.
I don't want love mail from anybody. Don't say that.
I'll take the love mail, the hate mail. Tanner definitely does want that.
I'll take the hate mail.
I guess I take the meh mail.
I have no idea what might be in your love mail messages. I don't want to know.
It might be lots of compliments and agreement with anything that you said. Ranch dressing. Oh my gosh. They might want your personal queso recipe. I don't know.
I don't give out recipes.
Queso blanco.
Yeah, queso blanco.
Okay.
Delicioso.
All right. Well, that is another episode of A Change in Attitude in the can. Thanks, guys, for being on this ride with us. We appreciate you guys so much. I don't know if I should tease this, but we're talking about maybe a live recording or a live watch along for a pay-per-view. Possibly.
Maybe.
There may even be a couple drinks involved.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, spicy.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting.
So, that's a spicy meatball.
Keep a watch on our Twitter for that. And we will catch you guys later. Don't forget to check us and all the other wonderful shows out on the Chairshot Radio Network. Like I said earlier, you can get that directly from thechairshot.com. New content daily for sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. And don't forget, always use your head.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tanner, no one can hear you wave. We'll be right back.
thechairshot.com. Always use your head.